Item number 12, 2018 spring black bear seasons and regulation. This also is a briefing and public hearing. Stephanie, can you follow the turtle?
It's a hard one to follow, to be honest with you.
But I think we've all seen your critter.
Yeah, I hope so, actually. Quite a fascinating creature as well, but maybe not as romantically sexy as the others. Anyway, good afternoon, Chairman, Vice Chair, Commissioners. It's a pleasure to see all of you, Director Unsworth, Deputy Director Storr. I get lucky enough to see you guys more often, but I always enjoy coming here before you all and getting a chance to see you, and I like seeing that we have some new faces. So I'll introduce myself. I'm Stephanie Simic. I am the Section Manager for the Carnivore and Fur Bearer Section, and I work in the Game Division of the Wildlife Program. So I'm here today to chat with you about some proposed changes for our Administrative Code 220-415-080. It is the 2018 spring bear season and regulations. Many of you have probably been through this process before, but just for the benefit of all of us, I'd like to just explain a little bit about what our spring black bear permits are. They're really important, particularly for our agency to distribute hunting effort in areas where we have fewer number of recreational hunters during the fall, but have a fairly dense bear population and a very robust bear population. It allows us to concentrate that effort and more evenly distribute across the landscape potential hunters across the seasons. It's been a very successful tool for us in some areas. Additionally, I just want to mention that overall, this harvest, we generally take about 100 bears a year on average. In comparison to our statewide general fall season, where we harvest approximately 1,400 bears per season. And the sex ratio of this harvest is very comparable to our fall seasons. We average an approximate 30% are female and 60 to 70% are male bears that are harvested during this season. The other way that we utilize this tool, and this is only one of many tools that we use for bear management across the state, but the other way that we utilize this tool is to also help with increasing human presence and hunting pressure in areas where commercial timberlands are affected by bear timber damage. And that hunting pressure helps to alter the bear behavior and thereby oftentimes can reduce damage to commercial timber. I will mention that this is separate, as I mentioned before, this is one of our tools. This is separate from our bear timber damage permit program. That program is specifically interested in targeting more generalized locations and putting an effort, a pressure in that area. This hunt actually distributes hunters across the landscape rather than looking at a targeted location. So I just wanted to make that clarification for you, because it can get confusing at times with all the different tools we utilize. One of the things that you'll note is I'm coming here in August rather than all my predecessors who came to you in March for this season. And the reason we're doing that, this was a change this year, and it's our effort in trying to be more responsive to what is occurring on the landscape and how our management needs are shifting. Under the prior system, we were essentially assessing our harvests and then predicting what our needs were 18 months in advance. And under this system, it'll allow us to assess we just came out of a season. We'll assess that data and be able to set a season for next April. So it shortens that window of time and allows us to be a little bit more responsive. The only change is on our side. It doesn't change anything for the participants that are involved in this process. They will still have an announcement in the fall about where the hunts are located. They will still have the same process for applications and submittal of applications. We'll retain the same time frame, January through February, and then we'll have the announcements. We'll, of course, ask them to follow the same procedure, read the regs, make sure you get your permits and your licenses, and also be sure that you, if you're working on a timberland, that you connect with those timber owners. So the process for the participant doesn't change at all. We do plan to announce the new hunts this fall, and we'll do that both in the hard copy email. We'll do an email. We'll do a hard copy out to our vendors. We'll also have hard copy flyers available at many of the vendor locations and here in our headquarters and our regional offices. I just wanted to reiterate, we just finished the 2017 season, so we're really looking at these changes for the 2018 season. In summary, this rule outlines all of our requirements related to the spring bear, black bear. I should clarify that because we do have an oncoming bear, another bear species, but spring black bear hunts through this special permit, and again, it is a special permit. I wanted to point out that any bear that is harvested during this permit process will apply towards that hunter's two bear limit for the year, and they are limited to only one bear during this permit season. So the changes that we're proposing include extension of the season dates. In most of the areas, our season dates go to until June 15th. However, in these GMUs, we are proposing to extend the dates. So for GMUs 154, 162, 166, 169, 172, 175, 181, and 186, we are proposing to change those season ending dates to June 15th. The intent behind this is to help us further mitigate the distribution of hunters across the landscape in this area, particularly since our fall harvest in many of these GMUs is relatively low compared to the population that we know we have sustained in that area, and then also to simplify the process for many of the participants, because when you have ending dates that are a little bit off and it's the next GMU over, it does cause some confusion for our participants. This area is in southwestern Washington. Southeastern Washington. I tried my best to illustrate it here. On western Washington, it's a lot easier because we have the coastline to follow, but on the eastern Washington side, it's a little bit more challenging. The next proposal is to remove the Monroe hunt that we have in the GMU 448. It is only a partial piece of GMU 448. This hunt has been fairly successful. We would like to remove this hunt from the hunt areas. The department feels that we have determined at least the past damage issues that we've been dealing with have been minimized and mitigated successfully. The timber owners who have been involved in allowing access for this hunt are satisfied with the results, and so we are proposing to remove this hunt from the upcoming season. Additionally, we are proposing to reduce the number of permits for the Long Beach hunt, GMU 684, from 20 permits, which it currently is at, to 12 permits. So the proposal is to reduce GMU 684 permit numbers from 20 to 12. The rationale there, again, is similar to what I just discussed and the fact that we feel we have had some success already. Additionally, we saw that we actually only had 8 hunters that participated in this hunt, and one of them was successful. But we're looking at the numbers and looking at the need. We've decided that 12 would suffice. It wouldn't impact the opportunities for the hunters, and it would still allow us a chance to get a greater harvest than just the one removal. So the recommendation for Long Beach is to reduce the permits to 12. The last recommendation I have is actually to add a few GMUs. We'd like to add GMU 638 and 648, but excluding U.S. Forest Service lands in those areas. And this would be in addition to the Copalis hunt. And I realized in going through this slideshow today, GMU 642 is our Copalis hunt, and it is exactly just west of the 638 and 648 GMUs. It should have been colored in for some reason when it printed, and I submitted this. I didn't have it colored, and I apologize. I don't have a pointer to show it up to you. But 642, GMU 642, which is Copalis, is on the coastline as you reach and you head east to 638 and 648. We'd like to add 638 and 648 to that hunt. And the reason behind that is, again, distributing the hunting pressure And also because in 642, we've averaged about 5 years, five bears per year over the last 5 years of harvest. We think we could get a little bit better response in mitigating some of the issues down there. We've had 76 hunters participate in that area, so we anticipate being able to draw some of more hunters to those other areas and maybe even pull some of them over to the other GMUs and help distribute that effort. So our next steps with this is that we'd like to obviously have these proposals approved by the commission, develop and distribute our new hunt area maps. We will do that in November. We will provide all the information to the vendors and to the licensed hunters through email, website announcements as well, and we'll provide some fact sheets at the local vendor locations. We want to activate this permit system in the same fashion as we did in the past. We will make announcements of those selected hunters in time for them to participate and hopefully have a successful hunt. And then the next steps for us are reviewing the results of the 2018 season and then considering whether or not we would come before you in August with a 2019, or maybe we might at that point consider a three-year season setting and only come when we have necessary changes. At this point, I'd take any questions or comments.
Stephanie,
yes.
You may or may not know this question. It's no big deal.
I have lifelines.
Okay. In our part of the world, what percentile are you getting on your permits that are filled, or filling of your permits?
Yeah, so in your neck of the woods, I actually do have some of that data. We are looking at, I wrote it down here. We are getting approximately an average of, I'd say, 6 to 8 hunters that are actually permitted and only 0 to 3 or 4 being successful. And I really think we could draw more hunters if we extend the dates. Oftentimes people, if we're ending the date, we're ending early in June 1 in most of those areas. And by extending the date, a lot of people are busy on the fields in some of these areas and have other commitments. That would allow them an opportunity to then come out and participate.
Well, I get a kick out of the participation because they're, what are you up to? Hunting bears? Oh, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you see quite a bit of activity and everybody seems happy doing what they're doing.
We've had a positive response, and in fact, though we didn't receive any comments that I'm aware of directly, when we were going through the three-year season setting roadshow, as we call it, I had a lot of folks come up and talk to me about this, even though it wasn't part of that three-year season setting. They would talk to me about this, and they were very interested in our expansion of these units.
And I think to the extent that this year where we had quite a bit of snow up on the mountains, so they were having trouble getting into the better hunting areas because you just couldn't access it. So
that is actually one of the primary difficulties that we're facing in those areas. Even in the Northeast, we have extreme challenges with the weather and the snowpack conditions and folks being able to get up there. And when the season is so short, you're really limiting the days that you're available to access those areas to hunt.
This is spring. They're just coming out of hibernation. Is there do we restrict this in any way by gender or by age of the animal, or is it just whatever bear they stumble on?
We don't have a formal restriction, although we do suggest and even recommend in our regs, please, do not shoot females with cubs young of the year. Hesitate, wait a moment, make sure you've got a clear shot, make sure you don't see a cub in coming in. And on these hunts, because they're special permit, we have special permit meetings, so our district bios and our conflict specialists are working directly with those hunters and talking to them about the things to look for, the things to watch out for, and one of them is that key piece, is let's not take females that have cubs. It's difficult in the field to determine a female from a male, but we're working on some pamphlets that we can kind of hand out to kind of help folks kind of look at, okay, if he's got a broader face, it's probably a male. If it's a narrow, fox-like face, it's a female, those kinds of things. But we always encourage that. We do not, it's not necessarily a rule or a regulation that says you cannot harvest a female, but we ask them not to harvest females with cubs.
And I think to that, Barbara, you're actually dealing with a lot more serious hunter that is looking for a good bear and will be a lot more
selective.
Yes, very a lot more selective than just where you're out hunting a deer in the fall, happen to see a bear and just shoot it and then go, uh-oh, where's a little boo-boo, you know? So I think it is a lot more selective hunt.
No public.
Thank you, Stephanie. Thank you. Appreciate your time.